church. Come on. Tell you what, I'm pumped for tonight. I love nights like this where we mix it up a little bit. Is anyone excited seeing those loungers come on stage? It just gets the heart racing. But hey, tonight's going to be very exciting and really, I believe, helpful. And as Pastor Ali just shared, tonight is very spiritual. And the message Pastor Brad shared this morning was a message that was just spoken into the heart of our church. And I would encourage you, if you weren't here, to get the podcast and listen to it, because it's an incredible biblical understanding of what God has called every single one of us to as we are part of the church. And I love this thought. Pastor Brad was sharing that, you know, roughly 97% of the body of Christ don't do what I do or what Pastor Brad does, preaching from a stage on a Sunday in this sort of capacity. And if 97% of the church are not called to do that, well, then what is it that God would have for them to do? And I was just so blown away as Pastor Brad unpacked some incredible scriptures. One of the most amazing scriptures was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And it says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what you do. What makes it holy is that it is done unto God." And God can work in any and every situation. It wasn't the ground that was holy when Moses walked up to it. It was the presence of God that made it holy. It wasn't just the priests or the kings or the prophets of old that God had called, but it was someone like Nehemiah, who was a professional who worked in an environment that people didn't even know God or understand God. He was the one that God used to change a nation. I want to share with you, just before we get our panelists up, just three scriptures that have really impacted my heart in this area. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, "And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Do you know, when God looks at the church, he doesn't look at a building. When God looks at ministers, he doesn't look at pastors. God looks at you and says, "You are the saints. You are the ones that I have called. You are the ones that I am sending. You know what? I will give you support. We will have get-togethers on Sundays to encourage you in the things that you're called to. But you're the one who is going to go out and do the work of the ministry. Your day-to-day life, whatever that looks like, is the ministry that God has called the church to do on earth." Second scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Hey, thank God that doesn't matter who we are, God saved us apart from our works. But get this, very next verse. "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Do you know, God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. He has planned good works for you. He has positioned you and put you in a workplace, in an environment where you can be his witness on earth. He has planned these things for you. And I tell you what, tonight is all about encouraging that. And the final scripture I just want to share, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 to 24. "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward for your serving." Do you know, God has said, whatever you do, don't even think that you're just serving your boss, that you're just working in an environment, that you're just going to uni. No, understand, if God put you there, he's the one you're serving when you do a good job, when you put your heart into what you're doing, and when you give it everything that you've got. Tonight, what we thought we would do is understanding how important this is to God. Rather than just get up here and share with you, we actually thought we would ask some people who are living this, who are ministers of Christ, who are actually out there doing the work of ministry on a daily basis while operating in that world, that professional arena. And so we've asked some incredible guests. We've got 5 guests coming up tonight. And I think right now we need to give them a massive round of applause as they come. Can you welcome these guys? Why don't we stand to our feet? Give it up for our guests. So good. Fantastic, guys. You can go ahead and grab your seat there. And just like to introduce to you our panel. And we have over here Peter McGregor. And Peter McGregor is an amazing man, an incredible part of our church, married to Jill McGregor, the leader of our intercessors and prayer team. Peter is the CEO of Lexus Australia and does an incredible job in that world. And tonight we're so honored to have you with us, Pete. Come on, thank Pete for being here. And next to him we have Virginia. And woo! And Virginia is doing an incredible job, recently started a business from scratch, which has just blown up. And it's called Inner West, how do I say it? Pediatrics, right? Mate, yeah. I once said when I was preaching, I was talking about how you fall prostrate before the Lord. I used the wrong word there. So I am determined not to do that now. But Inner West Pediatrics and... Virginia has a background in speech pathology and has just launched out and is doing great things. So honored to have Virginia. Can we welcome her? And then this is Christina Isaac. And Christina is amazing. Give it up for Christina. Currently the general manager of Pony Group, who have restaurants across Sydney and also Brisbane. And as I found out this week when we had a great catch-up, has an incredible story of God using her in the banking sector as she sort of rose as a young woman. And you're going to hear some incredible stories from that in a moment. So we're so honored to have you here. And we have got Vaughn and Carly Cooper, absolute heroes. And these guys own Cooper's Store. And it's an incredible, it's a shop that builds. Vaughn has got this incredible craftsmanship, just ability to build these pieces of furniture, which honestly are not just pieces of furniture, but they're works of art. And Melanie and I were just like looking through the website and just saying, yes, 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 I'll take the shop, right? And but we're so stoked to have both of you here. And Carly also is a nurse, and we're so stoked as well as running the business. But you guys are great. Can we just welcome these guys as well? Well, tonight we're going to ask some questions, have a bit of a discussion, and I really hope it's a blessing to you. Just hearing from these guys about business and success, but also about the greater success that God's called us to in our families and across our lives. And so maybe, Pete, I would love to start with you. I was thinking through the week, having you on this platform is incredible because you lead such a huge life in the corporate world. Being the CEO of a huge organization like that comes with huge pressures. And I don't know if it's just me, but there seems to be this sort of stigma that high-pressure jobs mean dysfunctional family, family breakdown. But when I look at your life, I think the most remarkable thing is your marriage, is your family, and the fact that you are so successful, yet your family and your broader life is healthy, says so much. Is that real that a lot of people struggle with this? And how come you found success in that broader aspect of life as well as your career?
He leads with a good question to start with, doesn't he? He's pretty good at this. I think it's fair to say, and I know we're in church, so you might expect this response, but I think it's fair to say that whatever success I've enjoyed, first of all, is only due to the grace of God on my life. Absolutely, from day one, that has been the case. So that's the first thing. The second thing, the second reason I think I've enjoyed some success is around 40 years ago, God blessed me with an amazing woman. A woman of God who has had my back and supported my career for nearly 40 years, who has played the role of wife, of mother, and has performed with excellence in that area so that I could focus on what I thought I needed to do from a career point of view. So whatever success I've enjoyed, it's jointly shared because I have not done this by myself. And I think the third thing I'd want to say is that despite everything, you still have some setbacks. You still have setbacks in your career that you have to step up from, and you still have setbacks in your family. And we have one right now that we're still dealing with. So it's not perfection. But you just, by the grace of God, continue to hang in and do your best.
Fantastic. What a great response. Christina, I was blown away as we caught up this week and heard a little bit about your story. You're the general manager for these businesses right now, and you've spent a long career in the professional world. You also have got an amazing marriage and some great kids. How would you say, similar question to Pete, how have you come to this point in your life with all that success, but not with all the destruction that we often see otherwise?
Yeah, my story is very similar. God's grace has been with my family from the beginning. And I want to honour my husband, who's sitting up there, George, and he has been remarkable. So I was given a great gift in him. And I remember my first years of corporate life, and I was doing massive hours, and God opened many doors, amazing doors. And we had three young children, and he would bring the kids in their PJs in the car to the city so I can just look at them with my dinner. And I never forget that. And because I didn't really see them during the week. We had a full-time nanny, and on Saturdays we would spend cleaning the house, and Saturday night they'll be watching TV and I'll be strategizing behind a PC. So he carried the load. And I was reminded this week, Senior Pastor Ruth Harvey at RLC said to us during our premarital counselling, and she said to us, what contribution do you think each of you brings to a marriage? And we automatically went 50-50. And she went, no. She just went, no. She said, there'll be times when one will carry 100%. And that's the grace I had through my husband that allowed me to just, you know, walk through these doors that God just kept on opening. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, fantastic. I love hearing this, the thought that making good decisions with your life partner sounds like an important part of fulfilling what's on your life. And also surrounding yourself with good advice and wisdom from people that can speak into it. It's fantastic. Vaughn and Carly, you guys are like an incredible dynamic team. We just love you guys so much. You have got a huge life and you've got young children right now. How do you handle the complexities of life? And I suppose, what does success look like to you guys? Or what would you consider success?
Yeah, it's definitely a busy time, as any parents with young kids would testify to, but a wonderful time in life. So for us, definitely success at the moment is very much reflected in our kids in terms of, we're together focused on raising them in the fullness of Christ, in knowing them. We both come from a non-Christian family, wonderful families, but we didn't grow up in the church. And so to bring them up and have an opportunity to bring them up in this environment with God, knowing God and experiencing God in phenomenal ways, for us, as we see that, as we see them start to really relate to God in their own way, even at such a young age, for us, that's when we see success and what we love to see. For us, in our marriage, we've been together since we were 16 years old. And through that time, which I'll touch on more later, but we went through a very long battle for myself with my health, with chronic fatigue when I was younger, and Carly was an absolute just angel for me during that time. So for me, success today, I'm living it in that, we're somewhere where we probably never thought we would be, with a beautiful kids, a marriage, a business, which we're blessed with. For us, we're just so thankful at the moment for that.
Yeah, I just echo everything that Vaughan said. He's lovely. I think just success in our family is reflected through the things the kids say to me sometimes. You know, coming out tonight, Eva just put a hand on me and just said, "You're going to be great, Mum. You're going to be great." And she laid hands on me and just prayed over me. And I thought, that's success, you know, like that, raising children that know and that are going to know God and helping them to move into... helping them to move into a deep knowing Christ and into a deep relationship with Him, and just having Jesus and at the center of our marriage, of our kids, and our life, and then from there, that's when everything else. It works. There's peace. There's joy. There's love. There's strength. Yeah.
That's fantastic. How awesome is it to hear the heart of these guys? And, you know, I've heard Pastor Brad and Pastor Ali share on many occasions that, you know, there's a difference between success and good success. And God wants us to have good success. And the Bible says that He will give us success and add no sorrow to it. And I think we do see people in the world's eyes that are successful and they've got the high-paying jobs or they're... but they've paid the price with their families or, you know, with their relationship... with their kids or with God even. And I just think it's awesome to hear that you guys are, you know, you esteem that and value that, and you've been able to be successful even in a worldly understanding of it, yet you've never missed out on the goodness of God in the other areas of your life. So that's fantastic. And Virginia, I'd love to jump over to you now. You are an amazing young adult, and I think there's a lot of young adults here who have dreams, have aspirations, who would say, I actually want to achieve something in my life. Maybe it's a business, or maybe it's in a professional career. There's a difference between dreaming it and wanting it and actually seeing it. Yeah. So you've now made that jump from talking about doing something great to actually doing that. So what are some of the lessons that you've sort of learned in your new business and also in your professional career that have helped you turn a dream into a reality?
That's a great question, Tim. So I was working for somebody straight out of university. I then went and worked as a contractor. And in a contracting role, I was able to enjoy some autonomy despite working for somebody else. And in that way, I was able to then establish what it was that I felt was right for me and the values I wanted to conduct my professional practice by, the way that I would work. And so I think that, you know, being able to do that meant that I had a really firm idea of what it was that I thought I should be doing in terms of not my career itself, not my job, but the way I conducted myself in that job. And then from there, moving and setting up a practice, myself a private practice. I have a business partner, there's two of us. She's an occupational therapist, I'm a speech pathologist. We're very complementary in how we work together. But for me, it was a real God move when it did happen. It wasn't actually something that I thought was going to happen in that time, in that space, in my life. But I was prepared because of everything leading up into it. God had actually really set up some things that were happening around me in my world at the time, that because I was able to sort of be disciplined and diligent and sort of consistent in how I approached things, that really opened up a lot of doors for me that... I was well positioned in the right moment for it to happen very quickly and successfully. It was just, I couldn't have done that on my own. That was very much by grace and favour when it did happen. Yeah.
How good is that? Just to hear that every season, even if you're working under somebody else, you can always learn something. Yeah. And you can always sharpen your gifts and you can always grow in what you have on your life so that when it's time, God, He flicks that switch and then you're ready. And I think that's an amazing testimony, Virginia, and so cool to see you living that out. Peter, I'd love to ask you, in your role, one of your responsibilities is to recognize in, you know, those that are rising through the corporate ranks potential and to actually, like, give people that have potential opportunity to rise. What are some of the things that stand out to you? Speaking to people who work in these sort of companies, what would help them stand out? What do you notice in a young person or even in a worker that is actually in your company?
Let me say first of all that the Bible is full of work wisdom. It is the handbook for how to be successful at work. And Tim, Tim had one of the key verses on the screen before. So with that as an overriding condition, let me be very specific. I look for people who excel in their role while they contribute to the team around them. In other words, you don't look for people who excel because they draw other people down. You look for people who do their job well while at the same time adding to the roles and responsibilities of those around them. You look for people who will take on responsibility and accountability. The parable regarding the talents, you know, and the investment that was returned. He who is faithful with little will be faithful with a lot. So you look for people who are prepared to take on that responsibility and accountability, and then you can reward them. You look for people who bring you not necessarily just the problem, but will bring you also one or two solutions and a recommended action with their thoughts as to why that is the best way forward. They're not delegating upwards. They're contributing to solving the problem, but maybe they can't just take that decision by themselves. But they're showing that they're ready or thinking about how to step to the next level. So there's a few things in there that I look for in terms of people who I think are going to move forward in the organisation.
How great is that? What amazing wisdom. Come on, thanks. This is gold, right? I'm just like, man, we could talk all night. We may just do that, but... one of the things I did want to ask, and maybe I could ask you this question, Vaughan. You know, it's easy to look at a group of people who are successful in their sort of fields and say, yeah, but you just knew what you were going to do all along. You know, sometimes people, they just know from a young age, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I want to be, and they go for it. Not everyone has that experience. What's your sort of journey with that? Were you always like, this is what I want to do, I own a business, build furniture? Yeah.
Absolutely not, no. It's it was certainly a struggle of mine early on, knowing what I wanted to do with my life. It was complicated at the time, as I mentioned before, when I was 17. I got struck down with chronic fatigue syndrome, and that continued on for almost 10 years. So during that time, I tried to... went to uni for a short period of time, tried a couple of different vocations that I didn't continue with. And so it was a real struggle sort of as I watched friends and family move forward in life and in careers and opportunities. And I felt often quite left behind or you know, what was I going to do? And so I didn't get a chance to do any formal training or qualifications. However, I think during that season of life, there is that temptation to feel that God has forgotten you. But I can promise you, He doesn't. He never forgets you. And I'm a testimony to that today, thankfully, praise God, because without having journeying that season, that time, with God, then it's just amazing what, when I look back on what he did through that time and provided, and now where we are today, it's just incredible. Just so thankful, yeah. And so I just want to encourage anyone who's in that season right now that might feel that way. They're struggling to know what they're doing, what their purpose is, what their career is going to look like. God hasn't forgotten you. Seek Him, pursue Him. Wait on Him. He will make it clear for you at the right time. And that's what happened for us with Cooper's Store. God healed me, thankfully, when I was 26. Praise Him. Yeah, absolutely. During that time, one of my passions, one of my hobbies, was building furniture. I loved timber. I loved building things. So as I could, I did that in my parents' garage. And got a job, local job, for a company called Cooper's Store, who built furniture, and started at the bottom with them, and sort of, you know, was given opportunity to work my way up, which was a blessing. And eventually, 2 years ago, the opportunity came up to buy the business, and it was a huge decision at the time. We sat with God in prayer and His Scripture and Word, and as we did that, I think Carly would agree that what became quite clear was what God had been doing over the previous 3 or 4 years before that. There was many a time where we felt we were maybe going to leave Cooper's Store. I was going to stop working there. But thankfully, he kept us there, and we didn't quite understand why. And then the opportunity came up to buy it, and we just saw just answers to prayer and prophetic words fulfilled and provision there to be able to buy it, which was just incredible. So, just so thankful to God for that opportunity and to look back and know that, He had us in his will, he had us in his plan, and definitely never forgotten. Yeah.
And he gave us a business with our name in it. Yeah.
That is great. So great. Well, that's a great response, and thank you for your vulnerability and just sharing, because I think it's very important for all of us to understand that, you know, that people who, you know, maybe we look at a little further down track, oh, they're doing so well. They have journeyed through some valleys as well as some mountains, and it's not all just been smooth sailing. And be encouraged. Maybe you've had a go before and you've been knocked down, or you're hoping for something and it hasn't quite happened. God has not forgotten you. What an amazing word there, and yeah, which is great. So, Christina, I'd love to ask you a question now. In your life, on your journey, since a young woman in the corporate world, have there been times where you've had to follow God and it didn't seem conventional? It's almost like, you know, you thought, oh, this is what God wants to do in my life and this is where he's going to take me, and then all of a sudden he, like, says otherwise?
My whole career is that way. It really is. I ended up in the banking sector after uni, and within a year I got a bit disgruntled, not knowing, you know, am I meant to be here, where am I meant to go? And I was coming up against some opposition with some males there as well. So I'm like, Lord, what do I do? Where do we go, etc.? And at that time, I actually applied for a position in a Bible college, and I was awarded the position. And what was really interesting, you know, if you talk to my mum, she's like, yeah, go for it. This is God's calling, right? Talk to my husband, there wasn't a lot of peace there. I spoke to the elders of the church, the senior pastors, and they didn't have peace. And my godfather is an elder at RLC, so I spoke to him, and there wasn't peace. Wow. So I went, okay, Lord, looks like I'm not meant to go through that door, wow, right? So the Monday went in and said to, I made the phone call on the Monday and said, I'm really sorry, we just don't have the peace. It just doesn't seem like it's right for us. Anyway, within, I think, 24 hours in the corporate world, I get this letter, and there's either, I can't remember because it's many years ago, there's either a bonus or a salary increase out of nowhere. Wow. Right. And that kind of favour was there the whole time. And I think I was sharing with you, Tim, I was in finance between ANZ and ING for 16 years in senior management role. And out of that time, I think I had 8 promotions. And I only, apart from the first job I went to, which was at an entry level, training level in a business analyst, I only applied for one other position. And God was just amazing. Like, the favour was amazing. I remember one time I was awarded in a position just out of the blue because I was faithful and I worked so hard and I put everything I could into it and I sought the Lord and he filled me with scriptures and godly people and I just pressed on. And I remember I got this position, and with it, and I don't quite remember, there was this massive salary increase. Like, massive. I went from, I don't know, I think it was 50%. Like, it was just a jump. And we were expecting our first child, Paul. And I thought, look at this. I am pregnant and I get this promotion and I get this bonus, you know, this salary increase with it. And so that's been my life. And even now, like, I left corporate because the joy came out. It was like someone's pricked a balloon and it just deflated. And I just went, okay, I'm meant to now move. And I went and joined my brothers, who are the Pony Group, and God just opened doors there. And at the same time, he gave me the flexibility to be a mum. And I really yearned that, because I missed out on that. And I I do praise the Lord for my husband because he did an amazing job bringing up those kids, and he had help from our mothers as well. But I yearn so much to just be a mum. I just want it to be back in the household. I want it to have dinner with the family. I want it to be part of their lives. My little girl is now 13. If anything happened to her, she went to dad, not to mum. Yeah, and God just opened those doors. So I've got, there's lots of those stories in our lives. Even if you look at my husband's life, he came out of building 4 years ago and we're now into food. We've got 2 food stores, and there's something on our heart that says, I think God's just going to open more, but we're ready. You know, if that's what you want, then we'll walk through. Like, that's the motto. Like, you open the door, we'll walk through. So
great. Well, there's no denying that walking with God is exciting, and you've had some amazing experiences. And I think that story you shared about the Bible college and not having the peace of God is almost a perfect story that fits with Pastor Brad's message this morning, saying just because we think in our eyes that that's holy, that that's what God wants for us, God has got a calling for so many people which is so different to that, but equally as valuable and as important to the kingdom of God. And, yeah, it's amazing just that you actually continued in what God had called you to, and you saw the favor and the blessing upon your life. And that's awesome. You did mention something there. I'd love to just draw on it right now, because we've got a lot of amazing young women in the house, and they have just got dreams, visions, and all this sort of stuff. You were saying that you rose quickly through the banking sector into upper management. Through your younger years, you would have been a young female a worker in a very male-dominated world. That couldn't have been easy. Tell us a little bit about that, and how did you go on that journey?
To give you some context, probably the first 10 years of my corporate life, I was many times I found myself the only female around a table, and probably the youngest as well. And it was challenging. I remember being awarded to run a project. This is back in 2000 with GST, so it would have been 1999. And that was a massive project in the finance world. And I had to deal with a lawyer in Melbourne who was a man so much more older than me, and he was a lawyer. And I'm, you know, I don't know, 3-4 years out of uni kind of thing. And I remember going to my boss going, how am I going to do this? He goes, just be yourself. Like, you know, just do it. Don't worry about the age. You know, you've got to trust in your skill. And you know, I just had to lean in on God. Like, I really had to arm myself with scriptures. I remember putting some scriptures on my monitor, and it was in my wallet. And I would, I was at church whenever I could. And I would, you know, surround myself with godly men and women to just try to get the courage and the wisdom and the confidence, right? And God had awarded me an amazing mentor in the corporate world. So I wasn't all a saint. You know, my background is Greek. I was born here. And if you talk to my husband, he'll say she's passionate and fiery and stubborn and heated and all the rest. And at times that wanted to come out in the corporate world, right? So I would come head on and I'd be like, oh, let's go, right? And I remember one time my boss pulled me aside and he said, Chris, that Greek blood of yours, control it now. Like, just control it. I can just see you're about to lose it. So I'm like, okay, got it. So I would walk out and say, Lord, how are we going to do this? Because I just wanted to bulldoze people. I'm like, I've had enough. Like, you know, I'm coming up against arrogance and this and that. And, you know, so God was funny. He made me walk down 10 flights of stairs. So when my passion would rise, I was in the stairwell going down the stairs and up the stairs. And I'd be praying. I'm like, okay. But you know what? He was amazing. So, you know, personalities that I will come against through the grace of God and his wisdom, and by inviting the Holy Spirit when I had to go into tough conversations, right, and I would send him forth and say, Lord, prepare that room, prepare the atmosphere, clear my mind, let your word come out of my mouth. And I was prepared. Like, you know, I put in the hard yard to understand that subject or whatever we were going to talk about. But I needed clarity of thinking, and that was through the Lord. And that's how we did it. It was a partnership. He went before me. He went all around me. Just otherwise, I couldn't do that by myself. It's just no way. So, yeah.
How great is that? I love how normal it is for you to just involve God. It's not some, you don't have to go to some prayer room. You don't have to go and on a Sunday go get anointed. It's like, no, I need God. What do I do? Walk down the stairs. All right, I'm going to do it. But that simple strategy calmed you down and was able to help you make good decisions. Yeah. That is textbook God's heart for all of us. Whatever, wherever we're at, God is there. Yeah. He's not here. You know what I mean? Wherever you go, He goes. He lives. Yeah. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will be with us and will live in us. And you have access, like we've just heard, to God at any moment for strategic things to do. So I love that. So great. Virginia, I'd love to ask you a question. And you started your business just a couple of years ago. And it sort of just went from 0 to 100 real quick. And I remember just observing it and just being like blown away by the way that it just took off. And I just wanted to ask you, like, when that pressure's applied, you have to grow quick, you have to... You know, what was that like and how did you handle the pressure of that immediate added expectation?
It was really stressful. I spent a lot of time lying on Aziza Green's floor, just wailing about it for a while. So it was really stressful, but it's quite amazing that what you thought was a big thing, you know, 3 years ago, right, today is fine. You just breeze through it and you breeze through the next thing and then the next big thing comes and you stretch out real quick to work out how to get through it. So I feel like a lot of the time, you know, I would not say that I wing it, but I do wing it in that a lot of my choices are very flexibly made and often are very, very, you know, I've got my grandfather is a very, very godly man and he's 93, and the only wisdom he will ever give anyone is like, just let God lead. That's all he'll ever say. And he often has said that he saw the Lord's hand on his life in retrospect. And I would say the exact same thing, like one decision after the next is, you know, you make a smart decision, you stack it up, you make sure that you have peace in those moments. I think I had to very quickly work out what was a God risk and what was me being a bit fearful and what was just a stupid idea. Because there'd be times where, like, the shortcut is easy, but it's a stupid idea. And so you've sort of got to find your way through those things. But you don't have a choice. You just have to. Your 9-to-5 isn't 9-to-5 when you're building a business. Like, it is all day, every day, very flexible, middle of the night. Like, you do, and you would have heard it with Christina, like, you work really hard and you're very tired a lot of the time. But they are seasons and those things come and go, and it's not healthy to be in that space all of the time, but it is necessary in those pressure moments. But you need to lay up for those moments as well. Like, you know it's coming, you know what it's going to take from you, and you just have to lean into that. But it's amazing what it does to your capacity and what it does to the people around you, because the next time you come up against that sort of choice, like, we're in a funny little deja vu moment now, because my business is, we're at the point where we now need to move, the practice has grown, we're out of space, we've got twice the number of staff we thought we'd have at this point. And so it's like we're at the beginning in a weird way, in that we kind of have to re-establish somewhere else and grow into a space that is much larger than we ever thought we needed. And it's just not anywhere near as overwhelming as it was back then. And it's more money, more effort, more time, but it doesn't feel like it's going to cost me as much this time around. So you do grow into it quite amazingly. And you look back, and I think I can draw a lot of peace from seeing how, like, every little thing was stacked up and just beautifully executed, like, in the Lord's timing. And like, we've got where we want to move to is quite specific, and we're in this dirty, filthy part of the inner west. It's gross. And so we had a really specific idea of what our new space needs to look like, and we found a place that is a third of the price of everywhere else, but beautiful, immaculate, perfect condition on the first floor. We have wheelchairs and prams that come in, so it's no good. The owner has turned around and he's gone like, oh, I'll install a lift for you. I'll just build a lift. And it's quite amazing to have them chase and tell us, we will do this for you. It's going to cost you nothing. Please be our tenant. It's such a bizarre thing because anybody could take it. But stuff like that just lines up. And you've got to, it's like, honour that and respect that and, you know, continue to do your part in being faithful. But if you don't take the risks, you don't get those moments. It's quite amazing. Yeah.
Brilliant. What an incredible story, and love hearing that. Carly, you said something to me this week when we were chatting, and I just have not been able to get it off my mind. You said that that to you, your workplace is your ministry.
Mm.
And it's just been rolling around in my head, and I'm just like, that's a great thought. Can you explain that a little bit more? What did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, basically it's been a bit of a journey for me, starting within my workplace in my nursing. I've been nursing probably for about 10 years. When I started nursing, I wanted just to love people. You know, the hospital is a great place to pray for people, but they are hurting, and they, I just wanted to love people. But over the journey of my life, I guess, and of my career, and Vaughan's touched on his chronic fatigue, and that was a real journey for us in our marriage, and for me supporting him, and I got it. We went on a real journey to pray to seek God in his in healing Vaughan, and through that, God really did a lot in me that I can now bring to my nursing. So you know, that was a huge journey, and we learned so much. But God, over the years, and the more that I surrender to God, the more that God is using me in my workplace, and I have such a heart to pray for people, to pray for healing. And so that is what I get. I do get lots of opportunities to do that. I guess that's my heart to go to work and to love people, to minister to people, to to walk with the Holy Spirit. And usually I get that red flag. Oh, okay, this is the person, Lord. Yeah, and I get a chance to pray for them or to. Just to pray for healing. And I feel like, the more that I'm surrendering to God and realizing that this is my ministry, that the more God is giving me big dreams, Like, I didn't start out nursing thinking I'm going to pray for people, It takes so much. It took, if I'd ever said at the beginning of my nursing that I'd pray for a patient, I'd laugh at you. I'd think, oh my gosh. But as God's growing me and as I'm seeking and pursuing Him and surrendering to Him, He's using me more, and He's giving me big dreams. I just have such a desire to actually see God. Like, I'm seeing God do miracles, but I'm wanting more. I'm like, come on, God, like, let me. I want to see people get up out of bed that can't walk. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, come on, Lord. That's my dream. He's bringing. Yeah, he's birthing more of that in me, and I'm thinking I want a ministry. Like, he's birthing ministry ideas that are more, and they're bigger than what I could ever accomplish, Like, so I'm like, okay, that's my heart. So I'm,
So great. That is amazing. I love the way that you just, everywhere you go, it's almost like if you're there, God can be there.
Yeah.
And do any of you other guys have any stories maybe of a time or a situation where you've actually, prayed for somebody, or you've seen God really do something through you to a colleague or to, open it up? Carly?
Anyone? Okay. Yeah, I get lots of opportunities at work, which is such a privilege, because, it's not about me. I just want God to be known. And on Anzac Day just recently, there was an older lady who was dying, and I got to speak to her husband and ask if I could pray for her. And so I did, and got to read scripture to her, and that was just really special. And another lady who was, having panic attacks and was quite unwell, and I got to pray for her and just to talk to her about her coping strategies, and got the opportunity as the conversation went on to pray for her and just to love her and share what it is to have a relationship with Jesus and what that meant. But two stories that are really quite special to me is one, a lady had leukemia, and she was a Christian lady, and I don't come, most people that I speak to, they're not Christians, but this was quite special, and I said, can we pray? Let's pray. And I've kind of had to get over those words, actually, like, that's now becoming more normal to me to ask people to pray. And so I got to pray for her. She had, platelet levels or whatever, that blood results that were so low, they were bottoming out, and she was at a pretty crucial stage. If they weren't going to change, then her life and, her disease was going to go not in a good way. Anyway, we prayed and we stood together and prayed, and that was it. And that was a lovely moment. I didn't come back for another couple of days to work. And I said, where is she? You know, and they said, oh, she went home. And I thought, oh, I got on the computer, checked the pathology results. I'm like, no way. Like, they went from, like, bottoming out to, like, just normal. But I'm like, oh, that was just supernatural. And I just thought, amazing, God. And then it was about a couple of years later, actually, that I saw her. I said, don't I know you? And we're like, how did we figure it out? And then, anyway, long story short, we had a lovely celebration. And I got to hear the backstory of what had happened. And, yeah, she'd given me some funny, cute nickname, which was really endearing, and she told me all about her friends and the celebration and what God had done, and that was amazing. And yeah, it was really good. And I've got just one other story, if that's all right. This is quite a sad story, but quite a, you know, lovely story. And there was a lady, she was a bit older than me, and she had kids probably a little bit older than me as well. And she was really very unwell. She was dying. She was in that end stage dying that's quite... It was very difficult to watch, even as staff, to watch her young children and her family around her. And she'd been in this way for 3 weeks. And in the staff room, it was the talk of everybody saying, what is she hanging on for? You know, like, she's so strong, but there has to be something. And I just thought, you know, I knew that God wanted me to speak to her and to pray for her. And I thought, okay, I've got to get, you know, that opportunity. And I went home and I forgot. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, don't let her die, you know, don't let her die until I get to speak to her and pray for her. And a whole week, that had been 2 weeks, and another whole week went past, and I thought, you know, I just said that to God, and then came back the next week and she was still there. And I thought, thank you, God. So I went in there, and she wasn't my patient. You know, normally I'll shut the door, you know, because I don't want to get the sack, so, you know. But I didn't. I thought, well, anyway, so I, you know, just went over to her and held her hand, and I asked the family and the kids and all the family whether they, you know, if I could pray for her. And I asked her mother earlier if that was okay, and just got to hold her hand and just pray for her, and just during that prayer just feel led to lead her to God, you know, into a relationship with Jesus. And pray for her family. And she was able to acknowledge in some way that she was hearing something, but I didn't know. So I thanked the family and left and walked outside. And the nurse just looked at me and just with disbelief and shook her head. And I thought, oh, I'm going to get the sack. You know, she's going to dob me in and, you know, what's going to happen? Anyway, I went home. And I was stressing out. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, just protect my ministry, Lord. This means so much to me. I just, you know, don't let me get fired. And, you know, but take her home, Lord, you know, take her home. And I just remember coming into the back of Bonner Bay, and God just said, today she will be with me in paradise. And I was like, okay. And then peace just came over me, God's peace. And then I went back in the next morning, and I said, how is she? And, you know, that was the first thing I said. And they said, she died during the night. I was like, oh, thank you, God, you know. And then that later on, that nurse in her, you know, accent said to me, I think what you did was good and it worked. And I was like, yeah, it did, you know. So all praise to God, you know.
Wow, come yeah, on. Yeah, let's give glory to God for that. Amazing. That's beautiful. We might have time for one more. Does anyone want to share? But if not, I want to ask Pete this question. Because I love this idea that you can, you know, be praying for this lady and seeing someone led to the Lord. But not all work environments maybe allow that. And even you were saying, it's like anything where people don't get it or they're not Christian, it's sort of people don't understand prayer and the power of prayer and the importance of prayer. Pete, how do you operate in an environment where maybe there's not that, you're not openly allowed to sort of outwork your faith? How do you still be a good witness for God when you can't maybe be as open as you would like to?
I think it's fair to say that I work in an organisation whose culture, although probably founded on Eastern principles, is not inconsistent with the Christian gospel. The Toyota culture is fairly based on probably two, shall we say, pillars, and one of those pillars is respect for people, which goes a long way to actually aligning with the Christian gospel. So the way I basically conduct myself is I try to be genuine in any discussion that I have with people. So if people are saying to me, well, You know, it's the weekend. What did you do? What have you done? It's like, well, you know, I did this on Saturday and on Sunday I went to church. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, that leads to a discussion of, oh, I go to church too. Oh, really? What church do you go to? Or, I don't go to church. Which church do you go to? But it's an opening for a discussion about where you go and what you believe and what you stand for. And so sometimes you can put it out there and the spirit opportunities will come where there is an opportunity to have that discussion. It may or it may not lead. Frankly, it hasn't led for me for any opportunity yet to pray for somebody in a specific situation. But who knows? I've got 8 months left. You never know what might happen.
Come on, Pete. That's great. So good. Christina, I'd love to ask you, you talked about your Greek passion and the Greek blood in you that was, you know, would fire up. As a Christian, you're definitely working, and so many people in this room would be like, if you knew my workplace, you know what I mean? It's so hard to be a believer. It's so hard to have Christian principles. And you talk about, you know, honesty and this and that, but sometimes the people we work with don't share our beliefs. How do you handle, or how have you handled times when, you know, people maybe don't share those same beliefs and you're sort of asking, how do I stay godly in this?
I've had a couple of situations where, you know, so one time as a young Christian woman, I walked into a boardroom with executive directors, so we're talking quite high up, and one was just swearing, just on and on. I'm like, oh, Lord, shut my ears. And I kid you not, a lot of times he would close my ears. And I could walk around the workplace and people would be saying whatever and I just couldn't really hear. But I had to learn, because I was young and I was just growing and developing, like, you know, what is allowed, what's not allowed, political correctness, etc. And as I said, I had a great mentor, so I was able to talk to him. And I'm sure he said some things in the background, you know. But God kept on convicting me that I needed to be true to him. So, you know, I had a time and I was telling Tim where I had someone come up to me, an older man, and he just accused me of stuff and he was rough and he just went for it. And I was actually a bit shocked. I just stood there and I went, whoa, I don't know where he's coming from. I actually don't know what he's saying, like, you know. But I had to turn the other cheek. So I didn't get defensive, and I actually didn't know what I needed to get defensive about either. Like, I was a bit oblivious to it, but I just turned the other cheek. So I didn't raise my voice. I didn't go back and say, how dare you, or anything. And I had to ask God to minister to me as well, because I needed healing and I just needed to recover. And I just let him go out and do his thing. And that man within days came back and apologized. And he went and got his facts, and he got it so wrong. And that's what I found when I asked the Lord to go before me, and when I submitted unto him, he will go out there and do the fight. And I'm not saying it's easy. And even in our own personal business, many times, you know, I've got to lean on my husband, who has to then remind me and say, Chris, God knows the number of hairs on our head. He feeds the sparrows. He clothes us. You know, like, you know, and he'll quote scriptures. And it is awesome. It's awesome to, you know, have a man of God in the household to constantly bring out the word of God. And he's the one who goes and fights. And even like yesterday, I had my brother call about some business stuff and he threw some stuff at me. In a good way, like, you know, I'm talking business talk here. And I got off the phone and I thought, oh, Lord. I thought, Satan, no, get away from me. I thought, you want to come and ruin my weekend. You know what I've got on tomorrow. You want to actually just captivate my thoughts, right? And just, you know, monopolize my time. And I just had to rebuke that and say, put it aside. Out the back you go, we'll pick it up on Monday and we'll do it with your head on. But in the interim, I've got to pray. I really have to pray because there's a conflict here. God's way, man's way. you know. And man's way is right too, because the law says A, B, C, D, and that's what I was being quoted. But I've got to seek God's direction, because he might go, just back away. We're not doing anything in this instance. So I've just got to do that. Like, and that's how it works. And I don't do it well, right, but I try. And I fall, and I get picked up, and we go on again. That's how it works.
So great. What a great response. Love that. And just a couple of final questions, and then I'm going to ask all of you one question that is the same, but I'd love to hear all your responses. But before we get to that, Carly, I just wanted to quickly ask you, you guys have a huge life. You're running a business, you're working, you've got shift work, you've got all this sort of stuff going on, you've got little kids, yet you still serve in the house of God. Both of you are incredible kids leaders. Why is serving still a priority when you've got so much on?
Yeah, I think that I try not to make it complicated. I think we actually, well, I know that, you know, it's not complicated. God wants us to serve in the house of God. It's as simple, you know, and I think, you know, we do it out of complete obedience, you know. And we serve in the kids' ministry because God told me to, you know. So, you know, that it is that simple, you know. And I want to, you know, I want our kids to see us ministering. I want to bring them up and I want to be that example that says this is, God is our number one, you know. And I want to, yeah, I want them to see that. I want to, yeah, reflect that for them, as well as I want to see God move in this house too. You know, I just want, we want to be a part of that. We want, yeah, to contribute to that and see the house, you know, this the house of God grow, this, yeah, together.
So great. Love that. And you're doing a great job. The kids, what a place to invest and just see them rise up. And Pete, I just also think about this same question for you and Jill. Like, you guys have just given over the years so much, dedicated service, host team, this and that. You've always kept serving as a priority. Why is serving a priority for you when it comes to the house of God, even with the size of your, you know, your world?
Jill and I were both brought up in Christian homes, and we had that benefit. And since our relationship started, we've probably only been in three churches, Scots Presbyterian, Templestowe Baptist, and now here at Shire Live. So we've always made it a priority, whatever we are, wherever we are in life, to be planted in the church. We don't leave churches lightly, and we always believe that where we are planted is our responsibility to contribute, be it service in the areas where we can serve, or financially as well. I mean, we know how important that is to the church as well. So being part of a church, being planted in a church, is multifaceted. And we need to be, shall we say, mindful of each of those facets and contribute in each of those areas as God facilitates us to do it. Why do I do it? I know no other way. I know no other way. It's the way I was brought up, and it's the way I think I will probably continue to the end of my days.
I love that. What a great example for all of us. And we could say the same. I mean, for all of you guys, you prioritize the house of God. Virginia, for example, is our avant-garde young adults conference coordinator, as well as running a business. The way that you all have just said, you know what, like, there isn't this sort of corporate life, God and success, and then my godly life, they're all together, and I'm just going to walk with God in it all. Final question, Pete, we might start with you and work our way back. What would you tell your 20-year-old self?
That's a few years ago now, guys. I've basically worked for two companies. When I was 20, I had finished my undergraduate degree, and I was working at Ford Motor Company as a graduate. And 5 years later, I moved to Toyota, and I've been there for 35 years. I think if I said anything to myself back in when I was 20, I would tell myself to be more open to different possibilities. I was quite set, I think, early on what I thought I was meant to be doing. And it quite well may have been right. I think it's worked out quite well. But I didn't really consider anything other than leave high school, get a degree, go and work for a major company. And I think if I was going back those 40 years, maybe I would have explored whether God had anything else in store for me at that stage. I'm not unhappy with the way it's turned out, but I think who knows what the possibilities may have been if you'd explored a wider range.
Virginia.
Take the microphone. So I'm 30 this year. It wasn't that long ago for me. But I will say that I think similar to what Pete might have just alluded to is that I feel, you know, your 20s are for learning and not to be aimless, and you need to be focused. You should always be focused. Whatever it is that you're doing, you should be focused. But it is for learning and to really throw yourself into finding what is your craft, what is your passion, like, and hone those things and try those things. If it doesn't work, let it fall off and try something else. But I do also think that your early 20s, you're very social and you're making a lot of friends and you're meeting a lot of people. You're quite set. By 29, you've got your tribe and you've got your people. Find your people. I think it's really important to find your people, like-minded people. And when you're like 20, like, oh, she's 21, can I be friends with her? No one cares how old you are. Like, you can make friends with people who are 10 years older than you. So, you know, find the people that are really interesting to you, who are doing things that you want to be doing, who are really different to you, that have a different perspective. But I really do think as you get older, you don't meet those people so frequently because you are really in your sphere, and it's so nice to have an eclectic group of people to draw from, because it just adds to your experience. So I really think that that is important as a young person to be looking towards that. Yeah.
Fantastic. Christina?
So I would say to myself, let me introduce you to a man, and his name's Jesus Christ. And I want you to fall so deeply in love with him. And I want you to learn to trust in him in all areas of your life. And I want you to know that he is your rock, and no matter what hills you're going to climb through life or what valleys, that he will just see you through. Because if you can get that in your 20s, oh my goodness, you are so set up.
Beautiful. So well said. Vaughan?
Yeah, I think I would go back and tell myself just how much God loves me, and he won't ever stop loving me, and that no matter what you experience in the years ahead, you're never alone, never ever. I'm always with you, and I will never, ever, ever forget you. Wait on me, pursue me, and I will never, ever leave your side.
Beautiful, well said, well said. And finally, Carly.
Yeah, I think I'm echoing these two. I would just say be fully surrendered to him. Like, pursue him with all your heart and dig deep with him. You know, he's there when we're in the places that seem like it's impossible. You know, we've had such impossible times in our life, and I think we're seeing the goodness of God now. And he, yeah, but when we dig deep, he's there, and when he reveals himself, it's the most, yeah, surprising and fun and amazing journey. Yeah.
Fantastic. Can we just thank our panel guests? You guys did such a great job, and you guys can head off. Come on, so great. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom.